Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, Director of the World Ocean Observatory. As Deepwater Horizon continues to spew into the Gulf of Mexico, so too does the toxic poison of blame begin to circulate around the world. Let's start with the event itself. The well is licensed to a consortium of companies led by British Petroleum, the global energy giant, 39% of which is owned by American institutions and individuals, with two subsidiary holdings by Anadarko, based in the Woodlands, Texas, a suburb of Houston, and Mitsui, USA, based in New York, a division of the Japanese multinational. The drilling platform, however, is owned and operated by Transocean, the world's largest offshore drilling company, with corporate offices in Houston, Switzerland, and the Cayman Islands. The failed blowout preventer was designed and constructed by Cameron International, also based in Houston, and the cementing of the wellhead underway at the time of the accident was the work of Halliburton, yes, also based in Houston. President Obama, the U.S. Congress, and any number of media commentators are pointing the finger at BP to the extent that the special relationship between the two countries may be compromised by some defensive gesture by an insulted British public. BP has accepted the responsibility for the cost of the event and cleanup, and, despite confusion on the ground, has committed $20 billion or more to that end. But the fact is that those engaged in actual operations and safety procedures in Deepwater Horizon are not just BP at all, but a group of American companies, all based in Texas, that are already jockeying for position to defend in the blame game that will certainly lead to major litigation among them all. The role of the White House and Congress is also interesting. Offshore drilling has been prohibited by law or moratorium until overturned by executive order by President George W. Bush, who you may recall is also a resident of Houston. Oil company lobbyists have been working hard to persuade the President and the Senate to open new areas in Alaska and the Arctic, for example. Then there are the regulators, the Mineral Management Service, that retains managers and political appointees who have issued permits or failed to enforce existing procedures. That is, other than the ones who have already departed, the director until January 2009, just before the Obama inauguration, for example, who left to become head of the National Ocean Industry Association, a group representing the very organization that he was meant to oversee. Other MMS and Department of Interior officials have also passed through that revolving door to join oil company boards, law firms representing the companies, or the companies themselves. Gail Norton, for example, Secretary of Interior from 2001 to 2006, who left to become General Counsel for the exploration and production arm of Royal Dutch Shell. Soon, the CEOs of the companies other than BP may join the fray, distancing themselves from Deepwater Horizon on the assumption that such a situation could never happen to them. We should not forget the local and state politicians in the equation. They are the ones who could not get enough offshore drilling to create employment and taxes, reasonable enough short term until the local economy and natural resource base are devastated by a catastrophe that negates the jobs and revenues, destroys the wetlands, wildlife, fishing, and tourism industries, and compromises the local communities at their core for a long time to come. Interestingly, Bobby Jindal and Haley Barbour, the governors of Louisiana and Mississippi, the two Gulf states now most tragically affected by Deepwater Horizon, are calling for immediate management takeover of the cleanup by Washington and massive infusion of federal funds to mitigate the disaster and restore the polluted coast. The very same two politicians who adamantly oppose, quote, big government, unquote, overregulation and the taxes collected that are, of course, the source of the funds they demand. On this contradiction, both are mentioned as future Republican candidates for president. Ironically, even the environmental groups, presumably long in opposition to offshore drilling, have been caught in a compromise of their own devising by accepting grants and naming oil company executives to their boards. The Nature Conservancy, Conservation International, and Environmental Defense, among others, have received significant support from these corporations, justified by some as a responsible strategy to educate, co-opt, and redeem the enemy, or vilified by others as greenwash, a cynical, opportunistic strategy by the companies to buy off the opposition. Clearly there is blame enough to go around and around once more. But who really is to blame? Actually it's us, you and me, the fellow travelers who tolerate this absurdity. Through disinterest, complacency, and overt acceptance of this situation, we permit it to endure, to happen, and we are paying the price this time, and we'll all soon enough do so again. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is a project of the World Ocean Observatory, online at www.thew2o.net. World Ocean Radio is produced by Amelia Poole in association with WERU Community Radio, Blue Hill, Maine.